everyone. Good morning, everybody. We are going to be looking at three different stories that are found in the Gospels today. The Gospels, if you're new to Scripture, are the historical events chronicled by eyewitnesses about the life of Jesus. And I cannot wait for where we're going. There's actually one kind of thread that runs through all three of these stories that we're going to tell that I want you to pay close attention to. And then that detail, it's gonna lead us into a really practical exercise that we're gonna do together as a whole church family. Are you guys excited about it? It's gonna change your life. You guys ready? The reason I can tell you that is because I'm not leading you through it. Judy West is. It's gonna be great. But if we haven't met, my name is Chris Nation. I get to be one of the pastors here. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. I love you guys. Welcome, those of you just joining us online. Fenton, Grants Trail, Mid Rivers, I love you guys. I miss you. I cannot wait for where we're about to go. So I think you guys can probably tell we're going to be moving quick today, okay? So stay with me. I got my coffee in me. I'm ready to go, all right? Let's pray, though. Let's pray first, okay? Lord Jesus, we honor you, and it's all about you. We want to hear from you today. God, if there's anyone here who is questioning whether or not you love them, I pray that you would speak to them tenderly today, that you would remind them, that you would reassure them, that in the way that only you can, Jesus, I pray that you would speak. So Holy Spirit, I give all this to you now. I ask that you would work through me and my feeble attempts at pointing people to you. God, would you do it? It's all about you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to follow along with us on the screen, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. It's the first of the four Gospels in the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 21. Pick it up with me right there. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Up until this part of the story, Jesus has been doing all sorts of extraordinary things. He's forgiven people their sins, which gets a lot of people's attention. He's healed all sorts of diseases. He's even calmed a storm with his voice. So it's no small wonder that you have a huge crowd that's gathered around him, including this Jairus, he's a Jewish synagogue leader in one of the synagogues in Capernaum. And he's wanting to figure out more about Jesus. And so he's intrigued and he's heard about this healing power. So he says desperately, "Come, please heal my daughter." But at this point in the story, because there's a large crowd around Jesus, he gets interrupted. It's another story for another day that deserves way more time. But somebody reaches out, and Jesus, sure enough, with his amazing healing power, he heals this person. The reason I tell you this, though, is during that interruption, during this little interlude period of time, some of the folks from Jairus' house, they come out, and they talk to Jesus and Jairus, and they say, "It's too late. I'm so sorry, Jairus. Your daughter is dead." We find out later that she's 12 years old, and she's at home now, And so you can imagine being Jairus in this moment, utterly heartbroken. You're desperate. You've risked everything, by the way. You've put your whole reputation out on the line as a Jewish leader coming out and seeking out Jesus. And now you found out that your last desperate plan has failed. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus turns to Jairus and he says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Can you imagine the audacity to say this to a grieving father? And then, and I want you to pick up on this detail. This is the detail we're gonna keep coming back to today. Jesus deliberately turns to three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he says, "Come, follow me." He wants them to see everything that he's about to do. And so now we pick up the story. He follows Jairus back to his house. There's a whole bunch of weeping and wailing. Something cultural is happening here with professional mourners. And so what Jesus actually does, again, fascinating with the authority, the audacity, he puts them all outside of the house, takes everybody else away. It's only for Jairus, this grieving mother, his wife, and for Peter, James, and John, this inner circle, to see what happens next. We pick up the story as Jesus now enters into the room and we see what happens. So Jesus, taking her by the hand, said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And then she stands up She starts walking around the room. Jesus tells her mom and dad to give her something to eat. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment. What a miracle. Talitha kumi. Talitha means like little lamb. It's this affectionate term that you would use to talk about little daughter, little girl. And kumi, I say to you, arise. And in this extraordinary moment, he changes the world for everybody to see. Except he turns to them and says, don't tell anybody. It turns out this is a recurrent theme throughout the Gospels. Get a load of this. Isn't it fascinating that Jesus tells them after doing this beautiful thing, don't tell anybody? Because the time is coming, it turns out, where everyone needs to know. Everyone should know, including all of us, who he is. But in this moment, for right now, for this inner circle, Jesus has chosen to disclose who he is. Jesus is revealed to be the healer and the redeemer of all seemingly lost causes. That is story number one. Now let's move on to story number two of three. You'll pick it up in Matthew chapter 17, the first couple verses. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. There they are again. And he led them up a high mountain by themselves, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Once again, what does Jesus do? He invites these same three disciples, this inner circle, to see something extraordinary. We call this a transfiguration, not a word you use every day. All it means is that his appearance changed, and you see, in a pretty amazing, astounding way, right? His face is like beaming like the sun. His clothes are dazzling with light. And then we read on in the story that Jesus starts talking to two people. Moses and Elijah appear right next to him, two huge, major figures from the Old Testament. They're having a conversation among one another, and then Peter is there, right? He's been invited in. And so what does Peter do? He takes the opportunity to do what Peter does, say something. He says, you guys want me to build some tents for you? We don't know why. There are a couple different reasons why he may have said that. It's not important. Let's keep going. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and he touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, here it is again, tell no one this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Can you imagine being Peter, James, or John in this moment? What would you be thinking? Your rabbi has just invited you in to witness this transcendent, amazing moment. And then he says, don't tell anybody yet. I'd be thinking all sorts of things. I'd be feeling all sorts of things. One of the things they're feeling is terrified, right? But then Jesus comes over and tenderly taps them on the shoulder and reassures them. He's giving them wise instruction for what's about to happen next because he knows what's coming after the transfiguration. They don't. He's also, I think, giving them courage. Because the days are coming when they're going to have to face a world that's going to persecute them. He knows that there's a cross that awaits him after this moment, and they don't know that just yet. So sure enough, he's giving them courage that they're going to need to draw from, because the time is coming where Peter's going to deny him 3 times. He's going to flee for his life. He's going to run scared, right? Wouldn't any of us? But just like Jesus said, when the Son of Man is raised from the dead, Peter remembers everything. Remember, as part of the inner circle, he's been invited in to see all this, and he recounts everything for us. In fact, he wrote the letter for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Get a load of what Peter says. He says, we didn't make this up, guys. We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He remembers everything vividly, including that voice. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Peter never forgot. In this second story, Jesus is revealed to be the eternal Son of God, endowed with all majesty and power. It's extraordinary. That is story number two. Now let's move to story number three. This story is why Jesus has all authority and power. Listen closely. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Once again, put yourself in the shoes of Peter, James, and John in this moment. You've now witnessed your rabbi perform extraordinary miracles. You've seen him raise people from the dead. You've seen him calm a storm with his voice. You've now even seen him transfigured before you. But now, here he is. He's broken. He's fallen to the ground. In other accounts, we see that his face has fallen to the ground, and he's praying his heart out. Why? Because he loves you this much. He's willing to give everything for you. But he looks weak. He looks exhausted. "This is the Lord of the universe?" He quotes Psalm 42 when he says that my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, because he knows what's coming next. The betrayal by a friend, the mockery, the torture, and the brutal execution at the hands of those that he came to love. How could he not be overwhelmed with sorrow in this moment? But this is the love of God. This is the love that God has for you and for me. See, a lot of people in the ancient world, and still today, they make the assumption that God is God because he's somehow beyond all emotions. Nothing could be farther from the truth than that. Aristotle said that God is the unmoved mover, that he's unmoved, that somehow he's like the ultimate stoic, and he doesn't have a relationship with his creation, but somehow he put everything into motion. We make this assumption all the time, but it's not true. When Jesus in Gethsemane declares these words, he is showing you the passion and the love, the raw emotion that God feels about you. See, he is deeply moved by us, whether we turn and run from him or we come running for him. And that's the invitation that he wanted to make sure these disciples saw. When Jesus pours out his heart in prayer for us, he is pointing to the moment that's coming where he's gonna pour out his blood for us on the cross. And I cannot get over the fact that he wanted to make sure that Peter, James, and John heard and saw every bit of it. So friends, these are the three stories that show us the inner circle that Jesus invited to be in his life. He wanted to make sure, and he chose Peter, James, and John to see that he is the healer and the redeemer of all seemingly lost causes when he raised that little girl from the dead. He chose them to see that he is the eternal Son of God, endowed with all majesty and power, when he was transfigured before them. And he chose them to see the raw, vulnerable, beautiful, sacrificial love of God when he invited them into the Garden of Gethsemane. So what I want us to do now is to talk about one of these stories. In fact, think of it this way. If you were to go talk with Peter, James, or John right now, which story would you want to hear more about? Which one is it that's kind of gripping you right now? You guys talk to each other for a few minutes, and then Judy's going to come up and join me. Excited about what we're about to do. Y'all ready for this exercise? I have invited my friend Judy West to join us. She is our pastor who oversees our whole staff and our leadership development, and she is constantly challenging us and giving us new different things to learn, especially to kind of raise the bar on leadership. And this is a really cool exercise that we're about to do that you've had the opportunity to teach all around the world now. People have asked you to come teach this. So I am really excited about us doing this together as a church. A couple months ago, some of you might remember, Judy was up here and you and Tim started in on talking about this.
Right.
But we heard from a lot of folks and we wanted to go deeper and we actually wanted to take the time to actually do this exercise together.
Yep.
So Judy, let's start with a Bible question. You ready for this?
Yep.
I talked about this Peter, James, and John business for a while, this inner circle, right?
Yep.
Where was Thaddeus? Where was Bartholomew? Where were the sons of thunder? I know you guys were wondering. No, what I'm asking is this, why those three? That's the question that I've heard a lot of people ask is like, why did Jesus choose those three disciples out of the 12 to be his inner circle?
The answer is no clue.
Okay, fair enough.
I have talked to theologians, Bible teachers, and literally asked, why those three?
Yeah.
We know he selected the 12, but he chose those three to experience these major historical events in his life.
Right.
And so that's why it's really important to peel apart the text and what you just taught us. So obviously, if you look at the details of the text, they must have had character traits that he mm-hmm. wanted in that moment. Like they must have been trustworthy with confidentiality.
Because mm-hmm.
two of the stories he said, you can't tell anybody.
Right.
Imagine experiencing that and then holding it in for now. And then another one, he must have known they could handle the supernatural and the bigness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think another trait that I can pull out of the story is they must have been able to handle seeing their leader and teacher vulnerable and raw, which is really hard when you see a teacher and leader that way.
So these are the people that Jesus chose to be in his inner circle, these three.
These three.
What about us? This is where we get to make it practical for ourselves and learn about ourselves. What about us? Are we supposed to? Should we have an inner
circle?
Well,
first of all, we're not God. But second of all, when you read scripture, it's always like, what's he trying to teach us? What lessons can we take away? And oftentimes as Christians, it's like, I can't be selective. I need to love everybody.
Yeah,
true.
Right.
Is everybody equal at the foot of the cross? Yes.
Yes.
But there are times in life where it's really important to be strategic mm-hmm. about who you pull in for that inner circle. So John Maxwell, he's a pastor and author and teacher. He wrote a book that we use in our leadership class here called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And one of the laws is literally called the law of the inner circle. And John Maxwell's always saying you always need to be working on improving your inner circle because they determine your potential in life. The men and women who you pull close to you, especially in those tough times in life, determine your potential. I would layer it on. They determine your emotional and spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
They determine mm-hmm. your relational health, your psychological health. Uh-huh. Like those people who you pull close to you, they have an impact
on
you.
I think probably what we're gonna learn today is they have a bigger impact than you might think.
They're way bigger than you think.
So what are some of the traits that you would look for when it comes to prioritizing who's in my inner circle, who are my people? What kind of like positive traits would you look
for? So Tim did this a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We have some of them on the screen that you guys gave us, and these are others that we hear around the globe. I think the human heart wants these things close to us and people, traits. So they're not as afraid to speak truth to me in love. They mm-hmm. remind me of hope. They encourage me. They challenge me in a good way. Mm-hmm. They themselves strive to be emotionally and spiritually healthy. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the traits that were said here at The Crossing, but also we've seen it on every continent we've taught on.
No doubt. Another thing that can be helpful is we flip it around a little bit.
Right.
And this can be challenging, by the way, but what are some of the negative things that we should be avoiding when it comes to who we choose to pull into our inner circle?
So especially people who grew up in a really tough family of origin, they don't have the positive traits. They haven't seen the positive. So what I'll say is, what are the negative traits of people that hurt your heart?
Sure.
Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's easier to do the negative. So these are the things we hear is they gossip. They're negative with their words.
Mm-hmm.
They always need something from me. They're takers,
mm-hmm.
they're not givers. They complain a lot. They're critical and sarcastic and cynical.
Ooh, sarcasm's a big one for me. I tend to find myself distancing myself from people who are sarcastic all the time. Because it's like this, like, it's like socially accepted humor, I think, these days.
Well, toxic humor.
It's dark.
Toxic humor.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it's getting in your heart.
Right, that's right.
They pile on the guilt and the shame. They are glass half empty people. They put themselves first. They offer little or no hope. And they say one thing and do another thing.
Yeah, when it doesn't match up, I find myself pushing away a little bit. I get that. Okay, so now we're going to get the opportunity to do this together, right?
Super practical. Here we go.
All right.
Would you guys start passing these out?
And folks online, I want to say
online,
this.
Folks online, yeah, you can get this on the app. This is on the app. Even when you guys leave today, you can pull this up on the app.
That's right. And I'm going to do this alongside of you as well. I've got my iPad. I'm ready to go.
Yep. Can I tell them first where this came from and then give them some instruction?
I would love to hear
that. So almost 20 years ago, there was a woman here at the Crossing who, horrible, multiple failed marriages, tough family of origin, was just constantly depressed. We had met a few times, and I was picking up a theme in her life, and she wasn't seeing it, and a lot of us are visual learners, so I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit say, give her a pencil and a paper. And what I did with her is what I'm now about to do with you, which we now affectionately call the Cross Plus exercise, or the Debbie exercise.
Right.
So as we go through this, you do not have to do this if you don't want. Right. I would love you to make a mental note of stuff and even do it home later.
And you said it's private.
This is about private.
What you're learning about yourself. If you want to use initials,
Okay. Yep. Feel free to cover it up. This is for you. This is between you and God right now. To reveal your behavior patterns with the people you choose to pull close to you.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start teaching through this, and then just pick up if you just haven't gotten your card yet or not. Okay. So you'll want to start with the open spots. Okay.
And I'm going to fill mine in as you go.
Yeah, you're going to fill yours in. Katie, I think you're at the top of the list, but every other name he's making up because we're not about to reveal Chris's list of the planets.
All of mine.
Is that okay? Okay, so this is what you're going to do. Let's say you leave here and you get news that is not good, whether it's a health diagnosis, a job loss, he broke up with me, you get an offender bender, something that's not great. Who are the first, write their names or their initials or first initial. Who are the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people you would call? Not who you should call. This is not a should exercise. This is a who would you really reach out to? Write their initial. Once again, if you don't feel comfortable, just make a mental note of this. But who would you really, really reach out to? Now, if you're going, nothing bad ever happens to me, Judy, then good. You get great news. You made the team.
Okay.
She said yes. Still put their name because the concept's the same.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So who do you go to first? Not who you should. Okay? You write their name down, just like Chris did. Now, on the left side of their name, if they are a fully surrendered follower of Jesus and they live for him, they love Jesus, you see their behaviors lining up with what he calls us, a way he calls us to live, draw a cross that symbolizes Jesus. Draw a cross. That just means the person has a biblical worldview. And they're the ones that say, Jesus wins. There's hope. This isn't the end of your story. Forgiveness heals the human heart. Okay? That's what the cross is going to symbolize. Jesus. On the other side of, by the way, if they're not, just leave it blank. If you're not sure, just leave it blank. Just because they go to church doesn't mean they're a cross. Okay? This is somebody who lives for Jesus, loves Jesus. Okay?
Got it.
If not, leave it blank.
Yeah.
Okay? On the other side of their name, if you leave the conversation encouraged, like I'm so glad I called, they helped me, draw a plus sign, like it was a positive interaction. If you leave the conversation discouraged, going, why did I call them? Put a negative sign. It was a negative experience. This is where you're gonna have to be really honest or this won't work. If you're not sure, if there's a pause in your spirit and you're like, well, they can be both, leave it negative. Leave it blank for right now,
okay?
When I was, I think we were in Africa one time, and I was having a language barrier.
Sure.
I was trying to describe to them the negative, somebody who's negative in your life, and I was giving them descriptives. A woman goes, oh, Pastor Judy, PDS, pull down syndrome. And the whole room starts making negatives. Like, you know, the people that have PDS, they pull you down.
Uh-huh.
They can't help but pull you down.
Right.
So now what you do is you circle all the names that have the cross and the plus. Circle your names that have the cross and the plus. So the law of the inner circle is the more cross pluses you have in your life, the stronger your inner circle is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you look up here so you can see me doing this. How to determine your inner circle. You go along in life and you get knocked down. Bad news, something happens, tragedy, trauma, whatever, bad decision, something happens. You call a cross plus, you reach out to them and they remind you, this isn't the end of the story. God's good, Jesus wins, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, I'm walking with you. So through the strength of Jesus, they build you back up and remind you, you're not crazy, you're gonna get through this.
Right.
Versus, you go through life and get knocked down, and you call a negative, they push you down further, and the deficit gets bigger, which was happening to Debbie. That was the theme I was picking up. Is every, she would be up here, and then she'd get, it would go, the deficit was huge. And so that's what I was trying to show. It was like, oh my gosh, no wonder why she was so sad. Right. She didn't have any cross pluses on her list.
Right, no encouragement.
Yeah,
right.
No encouragement.
So we do have the choice of who we go to first, right? Like,
yeah,
we can be proactive about this.
We can be proactive.
We don't just kind of go with what we've always done.
Correct, that your inner circle, who you go to first, completely determines, it impacts your life. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't, if mom is on that list and she's not a cross plus, you don't eliminate mom from life.
You're not saying cut her out of your life.
Don't cut her out of your life.
Of course not.
Just don't go to her first.
Don't do
Please
that.
Please don't tell your mom I'm going
well,
to cut her
you
out
were,
of life.
Well, we were talking about this. I mean, what really raises the stakes, if you think about this and why it's important to be proactive, we were talking about our friends in recovery.
Oh my gosh, you guys in recovery, you totally get this.
Uh-huh.
Because you know your first phone call is supposed to be to your sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
The sponsors, you know, don't pick up that drink. I'm here. I'm not leaving. Let's talk through this. You guys in recovery get this. 12-step gets this.
Right.
The power of that first phone call.
Well,
yeah, totally get it.
You and I have done this exercise a few times before,
uh-huh,
and I learned something about myself every single time.
Yep.
So I hope you all are doing that as well. But I wanted to, before you guys talk to each other a little bit,
yeah,
if you feel comfortable, okay, we know this is a vulnerable conversation, we know this is private, but if you feel comfortable, we're going to kind of think
what,
about
we're
what...
We're going to ask you what you learned about yourself, not right, the people on your list.
No.
Please do not talk about the
people
on your list.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you learn about yourself? But what, one of the things that I learned about myself is that there are folks that I love who've been in my life for a long time. If I'm honest, I wouldn't say that I walk away from the conversation feeling encouraged,
right,
whether they're a cross, you know, they're not a cross plus. And so you kind of got to what's going on there.
Can I tell them what you told me?
Here I am.
He said, I keep them on my list out of guilt and shame.
Sure.
And that really goes back to the guilt and shame. But then you pushed me. When I go to the negatives, it is because it's pride. Yours is guilt and shame, mine is pride. I want to be right.
Oh, I got that too, Jude.
So if something's going on in life and I want to win and I want to be right,
uh-huh,
I know who to go to who will agree with me.
Yeah, build the alliance.
And tell me I'm right.
Right.
Versus
sure,
a cross plus that will tell me to do right,
uh-huh,
instead of be right.
Yeah, who else have you talked to about
that? Uh-huh,
uh-huh,
uh-huh.
Yeah,
so I will go to people who I know will side with me that won't necessarily tell me to do the right thing.
The beautiful thing about this was a really good encouragement to be proactive,
right,
about who I go to first, which
yep,
I love about
yep. Okay, so if you feel comfortable, you don't have to say a word in the next moment or so,
mm-hmm,
but do you feel comfortable turning to somebody and saying, what did you just learn about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, wow, I'm blessed. The Lord has given me a lot of cross pluses. It could be, no wonder why I'm sad. No wonder why I'm discouraged. I just learned something. I go to the negatives all the time. It could be, we just moved here. I don't know you people. I don't even know who to put on a list yet, okay? If you feel comfortable, share what you just learned about yourself. Go for it.
Awesome.
All right, sorry it's such a short amount of time. Typically this takes a couple hours.
We're just getting started.
Process through. Okay, let me throw some things out there that you might have said that comes up a lot, is we have people say, I just realized I learned about myself that my whole list is family. Mm-hmm. Nothing is wrong with that.
Right.
Unless it's because of a reason that you have trust issues with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I love little exercises like this because it could be the Lord's way of revealing something to you. Mm-hmm. So if only family's on here, you might want to say, God, is there a reason I'm not including friends? Mm-hmm. Same with if it's only friends, no family. It could be really valid reason. My parents passed away.
Right.
Could be my brother has an addiction right now and I can't go to him. He's dealing with his own stuff. Could be really, really valid. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you're processing the thing behind the thing. Yeah. Same thing I hear, I'm a woman, only have men on my list, versus I'm a man, I only have women on my list. What's the thing behind the thing? Typically there's a trust issue or something.
No doubt,
like
and
that.
There are a lot of different things, by the way. This is an invitation to talk with a Christian counselor, because talk about a good person to be on your list.
Yeah, and speaking of that, one of the biggest things we hear is, I don't have any.
Sure.
That was Debbie's case, she didn't have any. And so I'm sitting with her out in the lobby, and I start going through, okay, Deb, let's really talk about this. Let's pray, God, please, is there a cross plus? I go, Debbie, do you have any cross pluses in your life? And she goes, nope, not one. I go, Debbie, do you have any cross pluses in your life? And she goes, Judy, I don't have any. And by this point, I'm like, oh no, am I not a cross plus? And I go, Debbie, do you really not have any cross pluses in your life? And she goes, well, yeah, but you're a pastor. Mm. And I go, why aren't you including me?
Yeah.
And she goes, because you guys are busy, you're a pastor. And I'm like,
right.
No, that we love to do this.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to be a cross plus. I can't be the cross
right.
plus, but
yeah,
can I be a cross plus? Hmm? And then she goes, my counselor. I go, I love your counselor. Your counselor is a killer awesome cross plus.
Right.
And then she goes, Mary. Hmm. There was a woman she was sitting next to every week in church. Mary is a cheerleader for Jesus. That woman has a spiritual gift of encouragement. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, for 2 weeks, all I'm asking is for 2 weeks, when you're going through a life issue and you need to process, would you just reach out to one of us? Even if it's just an email, just reach out to one of us. 2 weeks, Chris, 2 weeks. She was a different person.
I love it.
Her entire life changed because she changed her behavior patterns and chose to go into an inner circle that pointed her to hope, that pointed her to Jesus.
So this is what's possible. That's possible, even in the space of 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
We're coming back to that story too, don't worry.
2 weeks.
So 2 weeks that happened. I want to ask before we keep going, how do we keep doing this? Why do you think it is that we, like deep down, reach out to the minuses in our lives? Why do you think that is?
Because we don't want to work. We don't want to do the hard work.
You said before, we don't want to be helped.
We don't want to be helped.
We just want to keep gossiping.
We'd rather keep.
We're used to those patterns, right?
Uh-huh.
And it takes courage to break those patterns.
It takes work to break those patterns.
That too. So speaking of that,
on the back of your card, and this is what Debbie did, is just first thing, pray, Lord Jesus, would you bring me some cross pluses? I think he loves that prayer request.
Oh, yeah.
And number two, if he reveals a name, ask the person, like, hey, Chris, the next time, could I reach out to you when I have a decision I need? Will you help process that decision with me? And then three, you gotta do it. If the Lord reveals a cross plus and gives you a Chris Nation, you gotta reach out. If you choose to go the negative then, it's your fault. Because God gave you a cross plus.
One of the things I love about these three steps is they remind me so much of where Jarrett was leading us last week. Yep. Pray, expecting and knowing that God's already at work. God is already lifting up, moving cross pluses in your life to surround you.
He's already doing
right
it.
Now. So
he's doing it.
This is it.
Yeah.
How have you seen this impact people? Let's just talk about that a little bit.
Well, it started with Debbie.
If
you knew her now, you wouldn't even recognize her. She's a totally different person. Just through the power of Jesus and going and changing her inner circles. She's in New Jersey now. Hi, Debbie. So she has a whole different inner circle now, and that's okay. Inner circles can change. Like when I was a mom of little ones, I needed people around me with kids a little older. So when I would call going, is this ever gonna end? Like, are they ever gonna sleep through the night?
Yes.
These women will say, yes,
one day.
It's just a time. You're gonna make it. You're gonna get through, Judy. You're gonna get through. Now, Chris, you know I'm a part of a women's executive pastor group, an international women's executive pastor group. Those women are some of my strongest cross pluses because when there's a ministry issue I need to process, nothing throws them.
Right.
Those women are warriors. They can keep things confidential. They're wise. They love Jesus. Some of those are some of my strongest inner circle people.
I love it. So you guys know how much we value and champion this kind of emotional health, all this kind of work.
Yep.
We've got a whole bunch of next steps that we want to go over right now for you to now practically put into place.
So because everything we're talking about has to do with relationships and looking for traits of people in relationships. So the boundaries book, everybody who's taken Genius of One knows this is actually class number 3 on biblical boundaries. That's a great resource. The next one is the same author. Do not let this title scare you. It's called Necessary Endings. He does a great job of explaining how to spot traits in people and then how your behavior can deal with it.
I love it. And both of these books are just, they're completely grounded in scripture.
Totally grounded.
It's all biblical wisdom. Yeah.
Now, if you're sitting here going, I want to dive deeper in the Bible, if you're like, I tend to go towards PDSers. Like, that's just my natural pull down people. I go towards them. You might want to camp out in the book of Proverbs. I think that book could be called Insights for the Law of the Inner Circle. So I just went to it, opened it up. These are just 3 that popped out right away. These are traits you look for. Do not make, Proverbs 22, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and you yourself get ensnared. Great wisdom. Or Proverbs 13, walk with the wise and you become wise. A companion of fools suffers harm. You hang around fools, somehow gonna bite you, gonna get harmed. Proverbs 16, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. You just might wanna, I love the book of Proverbs. You might wanna do a deep dive in the book of Proverbs.
I wanna tell you guys about another next step that is huge, okay? September 14th. You can go ahead and put this on your calendars right now.
You can register right now.
You can. I can't wait. We are going to have our first ever conference here called Abundant. It's thriving in a depleted world. We're inviting some of the best speakers, most amazing, wise Christian counselors in the whole St. Louis area. They're all going to be here at the same time.
Yep. So just like a room full of cross pluses.
That's right. And talking about everything from recovery from trauma to living in a chronically anxious world. All sorts of amazing breakout sessions and speakers. So you want to register, you want to be there for this event. Yep. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. So all of this, what we want to talk to everybody about, though, is the punchline is, who are your Peter, James, and Johns in your life? And
who
is your inner circle? Because it does, it impacts you.
That's right.
As we close out, though, can I tell them a final story or two?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we were teaching the Genius of One conference, and we combined this, the Cross Plus exercise, because so many people, including pastors, really don't have safe people to go to. So we were teaching this, and the next morning, a woman, a pastor, came up to me and said, Pastor Judy, I need you to know I repented all night. And I went, really? Tell me more. And she said, I haven't gone to sleep yet. I repented all night because the Holy Spirit convicted me. I'm not a cross plus. I lie, I gossip, I manipulate. And all night I was up going, Jesus, would you clean my heart? You please clean my heart. Because if I'm not a cross plus, I can't bring cross pluses into my life.
Yeah.
And Chris, it was so, I can't believe I flew halfway around the globe for somebody to be that honest and vulnerable. And it convicted me.
Me too.
Like, Lord Jesus, may I always stand like this and go, Lord Jesus, this is about you, and clean my heart first, please, Lord Jesus. But it has to start with us, but it's not just about us. It all goes back to Jesus.
He transforms everything.
Without Jesus, there's no cross plus exercise. There's no cross.
Right.
So, Debbie, I was talking to her a few weeks ago, and this was, 20 years ago. On her list was the name of a gentleman. He was not a cross, and he was definitely not a plus. I was super concerned with her and her safety. And she said to me a couple weeks ago, she's like, Jude, you will not believe this. He is on my cross plus list now. And I went, how? How is he on your cross plus list? She got so healthy. She surrendered her life to Jesus, had joy, a strong inner circle. Her life had changed so much. He saw it and said, I want what you have.
Wow.
He started seeking Jesus. He surrendered his life to Jesus. Jesus transformed his heart. He is now a Cross Plus. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
That's a total miracle. And that's just, that's Jesus. It's the power of Jesus. He changes everything.
He does. He is the redeemer of everything.
Everything, everything.
So when we were talking about how do we close a time like this together, we decided that we wanted to pray together. And so if you're comfortable, what I would love for us to do is close your eyes if you're comfortable. I'd love it if you would open your hands. And this is just a posture that we take when we're receiving what God has for us. Because it's not just about Peter, James, and John. It's not just about Debbie. It's not just about this gentleman or this woman in Africa. They inspire us to know that Jesus meets us, and Jesus is the one who transforms everything.
Yes.
And so, God, we come to you now in this time, and we ask, God, that you would clean our hearts, that you would lead us, that you would speak to us. For those of us who are just asking questions, who are early on the journey, God, I pray that you would give them the humility and courage to know that you love them so much, that we would just take the next step in this world to get people of encouragement, Cross Pluses in our lives. God, would we have the courage to proactively seek them out in this world? And for those of us who have not surrendered our lives wholly and fully to you, God, what a glorious invitation that we have right now to do that. And so, God, we submit ourselves to you. We give everything to you. We surrender to you now in this time. We love you. God, would you help us to seek you in everything we do? And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, friends.